Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Truly is an honor and a blessing to be here tonight to join in on another blessed program. New Beginning, Ambassador for Christ. We want to continue to pray for our brother and Deacon Armstrong and his companion, their family, loved ones. Pray for our Bishop Armstrong, his family, Bishop R.C. Bryant, his family and loved ones, the elderess Sharon Logan and her family, my companion, Celestine Harshaw, and myself, Brother Dwayne Harshaw. We truly are blessed. We want you to pray for Miss Margaret tonight. And I'm thinking that we have her on now. Let me see here. Miss Margaret?
Hello there.
Hey, praise the Lord. I've got everything set up and for you to be the host of the show tonight. And we were just going through a few prayer requests that I'd mentioned, but the show now is in your hands. So you go from this point, and I will be listening in, but the show's in your hand, the program.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Again, this is Mark Rodini. I've come to you on the blog. Tonight I will be talking about the blood, that glorious blood. And my love for my Lord is phenomenal because he is so amazing. But just quickly, for all the prayer requests the Lord does, so I'll just say, Lord, thank you for our space tonight. Thank you for gathering us together. Thank you because you've been so merciful, so kind, so loving, so generous, so true, so faithful. Thank you for your undying love. Thank you because you sheltered us and you kept us this far. Thank you because if it had not been for you, we never would have made it. For each and every request, Lord, I ask you to lay your hands down. Put your hands down on everybody so they'll be able to get to where they need to get to and heal and be forgiven and be touched in a mighty way. Lord, come into their hearts forcefully and truly. I ask that you open my heart and open my mind and slow down my speaking because I am speaking really fast. So help me, Lord. Help each and every one. Shelter them and hold them close, Lord. This I ask in the glorious name of my Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. It's in your hands, Miss Margaret. Good evening.
Thank you. Good evening. I have been working on scriptures, and I've been working on messages, and I've been having a whole lot of different scriptures, and I want to start with, hold on 1 second. I got to scroll down, sorry. Okay, I'm so sorry. But I want to start with Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19. And he reads, and if a woman have an issue, and her issue is in her flesh, be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And the last scripture will come from Matthew 9:20. And he reads, and behold, a woman which was diseased with the issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And the whole thing is, the true blood, the undying true blood. We have talked about many times about the blood of my Lord. And people is focused on just him dying, but they didn't focus on the totality of his blood being shed. So tonight we're going to focus on the totality of his blood.
Yes.
And blood is a very powerful part of us. It carries all nutrients, and all oxygen throughout the body. It goes to the organs, the cells, the tissues, just to keep us alive. It supports and neutralizes each organ, each tissue, and each cell just to be able to get us to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
But let me give you a bit of information on the greatest blood known to man. The horrific bloodshed was for all generations the glorious peace that it brought as it ran out of my glorious Savior's life. The start of the bloodshed started whenever the, and I'm calling them heathens. Forgive
yes.
me if I'm wrong, but I'm calling them heathens. When they put a plaited thorn on his head, and everybody knows thorns are very torturous.
Mm-hmm.
They dug into his skin and outrolled blood. Blood came out. Thorns are very rough, and they tore my master's skin. And that was the start of his torture, my innocent king. As the heathens looked at my Savior, they paid no attention to the dripping blood. They just stared at him. The first drops were for all issues, for all head issues, such as headaches, migraines, aneurysms, tumors, and cancer. Whatever is going wrong in the head, the blood covered that.
Mm-hmm.
Each drop that fell was for the healing. The blood didn't stop there. The blood didn't stop there.
That's right.
The heathen hit him several times in his face, and then smeared the blood. So the blood smeared to other parts of his face, and it went to his eyes. And the covers of the eyes was for healing all of the color blindness, blurred vision, cataracts, whatever your eye had issues with, the blood covered it. But the smears did not stop there. It reached out to the nose. And with the nose it covered all nasal conditions such as stuffiness, which comes from colds, flus, seasonal allergies, stuffy runny nose, COVID, whatever you have, that's what it covers. The blood smear kept moving and it reached his mouth and it lingered there in his prayers, because my Lord was praying, in his prayers, he made a request to my Father. He said, "Gracious my Father, as you see my blood fall, I ask that you will manifest each drop on me to cover the multitude of all nations." Now, it has reached my mouth. And to heal them for all toothaches, all throat issues, I ask that you cover them. Then the blood dripped again, moving it around. It dropped down to his neck. And the request came from people with thyroid, esophagus, and voice issues. And he was still speaking. It moved down to cover his glorious chest. And the blood had gotten thicker at that time. And he was holding his chest. And in his prayers, he said, "My awesome Father, I pray that you will." And he had a spot, and he said, "Regulate the heart functions and the heart attacks and the heart failures and the weak heart disease, the valves and everything in the heart, Lord, I want you to touch them." And so he looked up and he said, those deal with those issues, just please help them. And then he moved his hands over from his heart to his lungs, and he said, Lord, my generous Lord, I pray that you will touch all those suffering from COVID, cancer, flu, pneumonia, COPD, weak blood flow, SARS, anything that come up in the lungs. Lord, I want you to touch them.
Mm-hmm.
And then my magical Lord was healed there too. The blood had gotten thick. It wasn't moving at all. But the heathens, they decided they wanted to do some more torture. So they started hitting him with a whip. And the whip had iron fingers on it. And it tore his skin. And my glorious Lord, as he felt the blood flowing down his back, he said, Lord, for all the ones that are dealing with spinal cord injuries, that cannot walk, that are missing parts, but I want you to figure out a way to do for them. And so he kept holding it till he held his back. He grimaced in pain. And then some blood trickled down around to his side. And it trickled to his kidney. And he says, My holy Lord, I ask that the function of kidneys to flush out all impurities and that it was an issue that my Lord God would feed the doctors a blueprint plan to humanly build a filtration system for each kidney. Another hit across his legs and the request for the bones to be stronger and the muscles to stay strong, to support the body and the body weight, to ensure the veins carry the tiny blood and the tiny blood filled with toxins, and the tissues and the cells will move out quickly. And my incredible Jesus prayed that the system would keep working. He requested that it would be almost foul-proof. A few, but not many people have issues in that area of the kidneys and lungs and stuff. So he wanted to make sure that he covered everybody. As a new terror, he is my Jesus. He grimaced in pain and hid ridges around his side and hid his stomach. And the blood pooled there, and immediately he asked for all of the ones dealing with eating disorders, either too much or too little, issues in the colon, issues in the intestines, and all this around. He asked that the Lord would touch them and heal them of those diseases. Our Savior is led to the cross, and he lifts up his eyes for a moment, but peacefully he gives up the ghost. And he dies. As they lay him down, one of the heathens had an idea. And he takes his spear and sends it into my Savior's precious Jesus' side. And immediately ran out from his body rivers of living water and blood for the endless healing of all nations. My Lord God wipes a little, weeps a little. And the weeping, and as he's weeping, he walks away a tear. He says, all prayers are answered, and all the touches that my Lord Jesus did was specific and detailed. The blood is a special, it was a great added bonus from my Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And so the blood was dead, the blood. Blood is very important because it sends the nutrients to the body to keep us living. But my Jesus' blood was the most important thing. He took it and shed his blood to cover each and every one of us. It wasn't for back in biblical days, it's for everybody. those they living in, living out, and those will live. It will cover everybody. Because he did that for everybody. He wasn't just for the Jews. He wasn't just for the people they did. It was because he knew generations later that the blood would be needed. So we are all covered in the blood. Any questions? Any statements?
Praise the Lord, Miss Margaret. I know we have another caller on 336-897-9958. Your mic's open, too.
Hi, yes. Hello, Sierra. How you doing?
I'm good, babe. How you doing?
Doing good. This is everybody. This is my niece. This is my faithful niece. Her name is Amber.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Truly is honor and a blessing, you know, because, you know, Christ did it all for all of us. And
yes, he did.
As it's been stated, he has did things for the world as a whole. When he died, and he died for the sin of the world, that meant every sin that has ever been or ever could be or whatever, he shed his blood for us to be able to have an opportunity to eternal life. He looked to do everything he could for the people, and people still don't want to accept what he's done for us in life. You still have people going around saying that they are Christians, but they're saying and doing everything but living in the will or the word of God. And the thing is that they don't know that they're not going to make it. Some knows the right and the wrong in situations in life. But Christ did it all. We can't ask for no more. God give his best to us. And his best did it all for us. And the shedding of the blood was very important because it was the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And without it, we would have no opportunity at salvation. But we all have an opportunity, and there is no excuse left out there for anybody. He gave us our own free will of speech to make decisions for our own, whether you want to live right or whether you don't want to live right. And when things happen to some people in life, the first thing they want to do is blame, why would God do this? Why would God let this happen? Why would God let that happen? Well, you're not really understanding. You make decisions in life, and when things happen in life, you have to look at self. You can't play the blame game about what God didn't do for you then. But if you're serving the Lord, you know better to ask, why would God do this? I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about asking the question, because you would begin to understand that God has given each and every one of us a life to live, our own free will decisions to make. And through and by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, he's given us that opportunity. So the blood is very important, because without the blood, there's no salvation.
Exactly.
So we have to understand that we have been given the best. And it's a perfect salvation that lives within us. We may not be the perfect person, but we have something perfect that lives within us that Jesus has given each and every one of us. Through salvation, a perfect love of Jesus. And we're learning day in and day out how to love the way Jesus loved, to be able to live throughout the way Jesus lived. We're going to make mistakes because of living in this so fleshly body, but the thing is that we don't have to give up. We have an advocate through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, pleading our case and continuing to give us opportunities day in and day out So what excuse can we possibly come up not to serve a God like that because he's done it all?
Amen. He did more than it all. He goes beyond all because he keeps doing. He keeps doing and he keeps doing. There's nothing that is too short for him. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing too long for him. There's no wait for him. He's always right there. It's just to reiterate on your free will, thank
that's
you for
right.
that. Because honestly, we have our own free will. It's our choice to make. So I've said several times, don't let your free will send you to hell. Because your actions and your demeanor will send you to hell if you're not very careful.
So true.
Because in the realm of things, you know, we have the choice to make. Are we going to serve the Lord or are we not? But
I think
you cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve my God is a jealous God. He is so jealous whenever you take it to start doing other things. So he'll let you go until you decide to come back to him. You have the choice. It's your choice. You have that choice to make. You got to be firm on your decisions. Am I going to be with my Lord? I'm not going to be with my Lord. But
that's right.
He's not taking second place. He's not taking a tie for nothing. One thing he's going to do is just let it go. He's like, well, they're not for me, so I'm just going to let them go. And then don't complain and fuss and complain and argue and fight because you don't think you get what you want because it's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
You made that decision for yourself. You cannot creep around and thank you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Da-da-da-da-da. And then you out here party, drinking, and drugging and doing all kinds of stuff.
That's right.
And then all seeing this stuff. It's your free will to do it, but don't even come and say, well, Lord, why do I have cancer? Or why did I have a wreck? It's your choice because you made the choices yourself. You cannot fault my Lord for anything that you make your choice for.
Can't do it.
Oh, no.
You have got that choice to make. And the thing is, it's just like our Bishop R.C. Bryant, my bishop, says. He said, it's the gift that keeps on giving. He's always thinking about his people. He continues to do things when things are unexpected in our life that we don't even expect to be done. He's given things to us in life that we don't even expect to happen or be given. So we have no complaint when it comes to the Lord on what he does and how he takes care of us. And like you said, he continues to do no matter what the situation. Sometimes we may not do what's right, but yet still, as long as we hold on and we stand, he still continues to do for us. He still continues to bless us in ways that's unimaginable sometimes. So we as his people, we have to realize and share with the other people, whether they be non-believers or whatever, once we share it and we let them know, it's up to them to receive it or not. We're not responsible for the way that they take it in. We're responsible for the way that we give it to them, and that's in the right way. And we don't want to, you know, lead them in the wrong way. And once we give it to them in the right way, and we continue just to pray for them, God will do the rest. And it's up to them whether they rebel or whether they accept it, because God has already put everything into play for us to be able to make a decision for ourselves. Like I say, we are our own free agent. We have a choice to make. Time is winding up. So many things have happened around the world that we see. We don't know what the next thing may be that come close to us, but we see a lot of people around and about going through tornadoes, floodings, all kinds of stuff going on around the world. And people's wondering, they're worried about a lot of their material things. They're not worried about their souls when it comes to the Lord. They're not repenting. They're not looking to the Lord, asking him, calling on him to help them. They're worried about the things that they lost. And you know, I understand that it's going to worry about things that they lost. But the first thing to do is put God first, call on him, and let him take care of the situations at hand. He will take care of his people. He will make a way for his people to be safe. And a lot of people's worried about everything but the Lord. And they're wondering why, well, this is happening, that's happening. Have you called on Jesus? Have you thought about what Jesus has done in your life? You may have lost everything you got around you and everything, but you still have your life to be able to get life right. And he will take care of you. And like they said, things happen for a reason, you know. And I believe a lot of things that's going around this world is God's trying to open up people's eyes and get their attention to realize that it's time to get right.
Oh, yes. It's past time. I mean, people don't even thinking clearly because everything's going on. I mean, the Bible is being fulfilled every single day. I mean, there's people coming up talking about their cries, and then there's crazy people trying to make people cry. And it's hilarious. It's hilarious, but it's sad.
Yes.
Because you look at the time frame that we live in. When I was growing up, we never locked our doors. We never had to. We never thought about anybody breaking in. I had an aunt who had a check, and she left her pocketbook on the front porch. She walked out the next morning. It was right there. Nothing touched.
That's right.
But you do that
whatever
today,
you left back then,
somebody could come to your house and they
going to
kill you for it. Uh-huh.
That's right.
They can do stuff to you that you're not even expecting because you accidentally left something outside. So they think more is on the inside, so they're coming in.
Yes.
But when I was growing up, we as kids were to play outside until the street lights came on. We never had an issue.
We never thought
about anybody robbing us, somebody taking us, somebody selling us, somebody killing us. We never had that issue.
But today's society,
the devil is running rapid. He's trying to get as much as he can because his time is up.
So true.
It's not about us. It's up. So it's atrocious to think of people and they're not doing like they're supposed to do.
That's right.
You get people out here, they try to help. If there are people that turn a deaf ear, they don't want to hear you, they want to be around you because they think they're having a good time. They think
what
they're doing is the best time of all, and they don't want to surrender. But I tell you, it's not the best time because whenever you die, you're not going to heaven. People say, well, I'm going to heaven. Prove you're going to heaven. Show me your life. Show me how you're conducting your life to go to heaven. Because we must conduct our life in order to go to heaven. We have our free will, but we got to make sure that we keep it in check.
So true. We have to live a Christ-like life. I work with some people that claim to be, you know, Christian people, and the way that they walk, their talk, and the things that they do, I don't have to judge, you know. I'm just sitting back watching and paying attention to what they're doing, and I just speak on what I hear and what I see. I mean, you hear words come out of their mouth that Christians don't speak. You see them do things that Christians do. And the Bible lets us know we can be a fruit inspector. If they're not shedding good fruit, you know, because you hear and you see and you're around it. But people get mad when you tell them, and the first thing they do, well, there you go judging me. I'm not judging you about anything. I'm just speaking on what
you're just opening yourself up to be seen.
You know, but people get upset about it, but they still call themselves a child of God when they're not living according to God's will or God's word. And it's a shame. But they're going to have to pay for it one day.
the life you live, it'll speak for itself.
Yes, it
the
will.
The life you live,
exactly.
It'll speak for itself.
It just will.
Just like a neighbor of mine was passed. And I said, I hope he got it right. Because
mm-hmm.
I had witnessed to him, it's been back a while, but I said,
mm-hmm.
I hope he got it right. Because,
yes.
You know, the last breath that we breathe, we were, the life we live, that's where we're going.
Mm-hmm. That's where we're going to be.
Uh-huh.
We're going to hell or we're going to paradise.
So true.
The last breath we breathe, the life we live, that's where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't
so true.
Make it
exactly.
with Jesus, we're going to hell or we're going to wake
right.
up in paradise. And
yes.
people, the Lord won't send you that. We send ourselves. The life
uh-huh.
we don't have to judge nobody because we send ourselves where we're going.
Yes, we do.
And I said, I hope he got it right because we live the life day by day
mm-hmm.
where we're going to end
That's
up.
Right.
So we have to live ready to go.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Say, be ye also
Everybody
ready.
Makes Yeah, everybody makes a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't live the life, we're not going to make it in. We're not going to make it in. He said, if the righteous scarcely be saved,
yes.
worse shall the sinner and the ungodly
so true.
Man appear. So if the righteous scarcely make it, the sinner and the ungodly don't have a chance.
Mm-mm.
So we don't have time
Amen.
To play around. We don't have time
no.
to play around. We have to live this thing every second, every minute, every hour.
Yes.
Because
yes.
when we close our eyes to fall asleep, we don't know if we're going to wake up in the morning or not.
That's right.
We don't know.
Exactly.
But we have to be sure that our name is written in the last book of life. We have to
and
be
sister,
sure.
What is the reason for true. Repentance?
Right.
What is the reason that we have repentance for?
That we might be able to go back with Jesus when he comes.
That's right. And it lets us know that we have to have a repentant spirit when we know that things are not in order and right in our life to make sure that we are where we need to be and get it right in life. Because if we feel like, well, you know, I got time, you know, and some people say, well, they don't repent every day. Well if something happens in life and you're not an everyday repentance because things happen, not because you don't, you know, expect them to happen, but things happen in life. That's why we have a repentance of omission and commission. You know,
right,
because
you
we have to continue to repent daily. It's a daily process until the day the Lord calls us home. We have to have a repentant spirit to make sure we're covered by the blood of Jesus to be able to live throughout eternity. If we don't, we're lost. We're going to be lost.
That's true.
And we don't want to be lost.
No, we don't. I don't want my running to be in vain.
No.
Boy, I don't worry.
No.
I don't want it to be in vain.
He's bought
no,
me two and
you
four just, to, just
say,
to give it up and let go.
Yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Lord, help me.
But it's so sad to say that a whole lot of people are in the church or going straight to hell because they're not listening. They're not paying
That's
attention
right.
to the Lord. They're doing the Lord. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They do what
yes.
they want to do, but they're taking them as well as their congregation to hell with them
mm-hmm.
because it's really awful that people will not
yes.
pay attention to what my Lord is saying. My Lord is
so
talking
true.
Every single day, and he's telling us we have to be, as you said, repentant. We have to be open-minded. We have to be
mm-hmm.
receptive. We have to be loving.
Yes.
We have to be caring.
Uh-huh.
We had to
yeah.
we had to do everything that he did here.
Yes.
Okay.
Lord, have mercy. It's a serious walk.
It is.
It is. It's a serious walk. And people don't take it serious.
Mm-mm. No, they don't.
They don't take it serious.
Mm-mm. No, they don't.
But this is a serious thing. And we're
it's very
close
serious.
To the end.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting
yes,
close
we are.
To the end. Lord, have mercy. Lord,
yes,
have
Lord.
Mercy.
And you know, the thing is, we look at situations in life, and so many people, you know, get upset when you don't agree with them. When you Christian or children of God, Christ-like,
yes.
and
yes.
someone make a decision and you don't agree with it, I don't have to
right.
get mad at that person because they disagree
no.
with me. We
no.
just go ahead, we
no.
can disagree and still get along, still be happy.
Right.
We just don't have the same thoughts. Because if he made
that's
each and
right.
every one of us with the same thoughts to agree about everything, we probably would still be lost because we're agreeing on stuff that
right.
may not be true.
That
so he gives us an
true.
Opportunity to make decisions. It doesn't mean
okay.
that everything's going to be agreeable to everybody.
Right.
Everybody
no,
has
no.
a different thought. But even though we have a different thought and we don't agree on everything, one thing we have to agree on, we have to live a holy, Christian, righteous life before the Lord.
That's right.
That's one thing that we have to live that and agree with that because Christ died for the sin of the world. And like I said, that counts for every sin that ever was committed or will be committed to give you an opportunity, me an opportunity, us an opportunity to be able to receive salvation, to live throughout eternity. We can either live throughout eternity or be sent to the lake, live eternal damnation throughout hell and brimstone and fire. But people think when you die, that's it.
That's it.
But it's not the
but
end.
It's a life of faith.
It's
a life
it's not
of
the
faith.
End.
It's not the end. If that was it, we could live any kind of way.
That's
but
right.
It's not the,
it doesn't matter if we die or not, if that was the end. Wouldn't
no,
matter
Lord.
What we die in because there's no
that's
belief
right.
in nothing. But we Lord, have a Lord. Choice to believe in something that's real. And when you've experienced
right.
the Spirit of the Lord within,
right.
you know that he's
yes.
real.
Yes,
I mean,
real.
You know that he's real. And when you read his word, you can feel the Spirit moving within.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the word of God is real and true all by itself. But a lot of people will try to turn you away from that and try to use part of it to their liking. And then
right.
the rest of it, they throw away. But there is
that's
not
right.
thrown away anything. You have to accept it all. And you
have
to go farther to find out more about it and get more
yeah.
understanding. And pray for that understanding, for the Lord to give you
yeah.
the understanding and the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to do what you have to do before people. Because you don't want to tell somebody nothing wrong and you
no.
both end up in the lake of fire.
That's right. That's right. And these preachers that's not telling them the truth and that's marrying these same-sex people, God is going to get them for it.
So true.
God's
yeah.
gonna get them. He is. He's going to get them for it. Because
so
Jesus also is mine. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Shall
because
die.
Our, soul don't even, our soul don't even belong to us.
That's right.
It don't belong to us.
Jesus
loved us so that he said we've been bought with a price. That's why he loved us so that he sent Jesus. And so the soul that sent us is going to die.
That's right.
Praise God. So he fixed it where we don't have to die.
That's right.
But man rather love the pleasures of the world than to accept Jesus Christ and live forever.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So see, that's just the way it is. But as God gives
people
us the opportunity, we are to tell those about the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. People are so delusional now. They are so delusional. They don't care about anything. They think that everything they do is right. The Bible speaks of what's right is wrong and wrong is right. That's what the Bible says. That's the type we live in. Because everything people are doing, they say everything's right. But because we're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, they're saying we're wrong. But
that's right.
They don't know. They don't know.
They call us holy rollers.
They
blinded their eyes.
And they don't want to live the life, but we're holy. Here comes them holy rollers. You know, they don't want to hear what you got to say. They don't want you to talk about anything to do with Christ. And the thing is, they don't know that that's the only way that they're going to be able to make it and have salvation is through and by Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And they can say what they want to. I tell them, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask me. Because that's all I can tell you is the truth, the best that I can and know how. I'm not going to lie to you or sugarcoat anything because God has blessed me in a way that if I run off and I tell somebody something and I don't tell them the truth, I'm going to be responsible for that lie that I told. Bishop said Sunday, Bishop Gray said if you tell a part of a lie and don't tell the whole truth, then the whole thing's a lie, you know.
The whole thing's a lie.
If you telling part of a lie and then come out with the true part of it and you tell part of it as a lie, well, the whole thing's a lie because you didn't lie about it. You got to get it right.
You
got to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you to get that right. You didn't make the mistake of lying anyway. You got to repent, ask the Lord to forgive you, get it right, live your life through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and move on. But you have to get it right.
That's right.
That's right. Because Psalms 107 says, no law will tarry in my sight. And I'm going to extend that. I'm going to say no sin is going to tarry in his sight because when you bring down a new Jerusalem, it's going to be pristine. There's no sin of no kind nowhere. So no sin of no kind nowhere is going to tarry in my Lord's sight because he's like, no, I'm not going to do it.
That's right. He ain't
going to
put up with
it. We can't.
Lord help us.
We can't.
It's best to tell the truth or don't say
it is. Especially when you already know the wrong and right and what you should do. You already know the right and wrong and what you should do. And sometimes I know we go through situations and we don't do everything that's right, but we don't have to just go ahead and start to lie about something and not get it right. Best thing to do is don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut until you can tell the truth.
That's the truth.
Exactly.
Because if you feel you can't tell the truth, keep your mouth shut. Until you can get it right.
Get it right. That's right. That's the truth. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you. Praise the Lord. Now the truth will make you free.
Amen.
Yes, it will.
Amen.
Yes, it will.
Amen. And that's what I want to be about, the truth.
That's me. The truth. Praise God. Tell me the truth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You. That's the truth.
Because if you ask me something and I don't answer, that means it's time for me to just keep my mouth shut. Don't answer to it because you're trying to think of something to say. And if you don't get it right, just don't say it.
Don't get it.
Until you get it right. And you can come out and tell it the right way. Because sometimes you jump ahead of things sometimes. And before you realize it, you didn't say something wrong before you could get started. And you have to go back and say, well, Lord, forgive me. No, that ain't right. And then you go ahead and you try to explain something. So we have to, you know, and our bishop is so good for that, Bishop R.C. Bryant. When you talk to him about something, he'll pause. He won't answer right off, and he'll take his time and everything. And sometimes you think he didn't hear what you said, but he heard every word of what you said and what you're asking. But he's not going to be quick to answer you in whatever it is. But he will have an answer for you. So we have to learn that we have to take our time.
He'll take God's advice before he says anything.
Think about it before you say anything.
Before he says anything.
Yes. Think about it before you say anything.
It's a quick answer. Yes.
That's right.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Lord, have mercy.
So we learn as we go. And that's the reason why we have leaders in this world, in this Christian journey. That's the reason why we have leaders to learn from. We have the Word of God to learn from. We have stories back from the Old Testament to the New to learn from. And it teaches us that we may not make the same mistakes, that we may be able to see and understand that we have to pay attention. He's always told us, Bishop R.C. Bryant, to observe.
Observe.
What you're reading, what you see, observe first. Before you go on about something, because you can read something, and if you're not really observing what you read, you're going to go back, even if you do observe when it comes to the Word of God, you're going to always see something different. But if you observe first what you're reading, you will get more understanding out of it. So when you do go back, more and more understanding will come from it. And we have to take our time at it. We can't rush through things. And every time I go to the store, I'm somewhere, they'll say, well, I'm sorry, sir, for taking. So I tell them, I said, no. You take your time. I'm not in a hurry. I've learned to have patience in line or waiting for something to happen. I'm not in a hurry to rush through things like I used to be. And it makes a difference in life. And, you know, people's looking at this, paying attention to your reactions, your ways and everything, your facial reactions and things. So lets me know that there is a change in my life because of Christ. And I like it. And like our sister pastor says, I like this journey and this road that I'm on. I wouldn't give it up or change it for the world because I'm so thankful for where God has brought me from and where he's placed me at today.
Thank you, Lord.
I tell you, I'm with her on that one because I would not trade it where I am right now. I would not trade it for nothing. You can offer me $1 billion and I won't trade for it. Because honestly, there's nothing like my Lord. Nobody can compare to him. Nobody can beat him. Because there's nothing like my Lord.
Best decision I ever made. You know, I think sometimes, I thought today I posted a picture of my mom and dad. And I thought about it so much. And, you know, how much I missed them. And I thought about how much they loved me. And I know they did. But I thought about past that how much Christ loved me more. And it was hard to take in knowing that parents, when they truly love their children, they love you. But when you think about the love of Christ being so much more, it's amazing. It's a beautiful thought, you know, because you truly know your love when you come to Christ past your parents loving you too. And it's something to think about, you know, because I never thought that nobody loved me more than my mom them did. But when I got saved and I got to reading God's word and I got to studying it and finding out the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how he had chose me and me not chose him, so many things come into play to start thinking about in life. And if you put your focus on it, it opens up your understanding more and more. God gives you that understanding that you've been asking him to give you because you begin to learn and you begin to see and you have a certain type of feeling about things that feels good because Jesus loves me. He died for me. God gave his best for me. I didn't do anything to deserve it. He shed his blood for me. I could think of so many things that he did for me. You know?
Yes.
I mean, how great is our God?
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
Nothing can compare. I mean, just a sheer ability to be able to have the hope, the joy, the peace, the love, is nothing compared to it. You can
search
all of it. You never find the love. You'll never find the joy. You never find the peace that my Lord is offering to us all. It's not just me. It's everybody.
Amen.
No matter who you are, no matter what your status is in life,
can
be the richest of rich or the poorest of poor. No matter your status, the same love that the rich people get, the poor people get. Same love the poor people get, the rich people get. That same peace, that same love, that same joy, the happiness, the same wonder, the same hope.
Yes.
I mean, you have to honestly step up to the plate, to my Lord. You step up and you get served in the way that the Lord will serve you. So get out of here and think you're going to get served by all this other stuff and just leave a little spot up before the Lord. That's not going to work. You got to keep the whole plate up before my Lord.
Yes.
No matter what, when you sit down to get served, every part, every place had to be for my Lord. You can't say that the sin is for my Lord. You can't say the right is for my Lord. You can't say the left is for my Lord. It has to be the whole entire plate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is equated to your life. Your whole life has to be completely devoted, surrendering to the Lord. Because we have to surrender our whole entire self to be able to be used and to be governed by the Lord.
Oh, yes.
We
and the
must
thing
think
is,
about our life.
And the thing is, he loves the sinner man. Even though they acknowledge it or not, he just don't like the sin that they're due. But he even loved the sinner man the same as he loved the children of God. He just don't like the sin that they do. But they don't understand that love like God's people do.
Mm.
So he loved the world and gave his life for the world. The good and the bad and the ugly, as they say that movie. But the thing is, we have our own free will and right to choose to accept or not to accept. And the thing is, there will be a time that come that you wish you had.
Oh, yes. And see, I always tell people, you know, you have free will. It's your choice. I'm not trying to force you into doing anything. I'm obligated to tell you of what I know for certain about my Lord.
Yes.
I have to tell you that. But it's your choice.
Yes.
But I'm completely obligated to spread his word according to his will and his way.
So true.
I'm not stepping on your free will. I just want you to know.
That's all we can do on the other side of praying for them. Because, you know, we're doing God's will by sharing what we can about how he worked in our life, how he continues to bless, and what he can do for them if they're willing to accept him. And once we give it all to them, and they see we talk about how he's changed our life and the things that he's took us through and brought us out of, and they listen and they hear this, and we've shared the word with them, everything has been given to them. It's up to them to take the next step. We have to continue to pray that God works in their lives to that they'll make that change. But after we do that, we've done our job, as because he told us that we should go around and, hey, we got to give the word to them just like everybody else as God's children. We have to share it with them. People's really hurting for it. And some is willing to listen, and a whole lot's not willing to listen. But that don't mean that we as God's children give up. We have to continue to pray for them. We don't condemn them, put them down, or nothing like that.
No.
But
no, we can't do that.
Them know that Jesus loves you, and I love you too. And I'm praying for you.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can't get on to them and tell them, well, you know good and well you're wrong for doing this. No. We can't go and do that. A lot of Christians go and tell them what they don't need to be doing, and they're not doing the same thing. As God's children, have to just share the word with them, love them, and let them know to be encouraged. And we love them, and we're praying for them, and Jesus loves them too. And let them know what Jesus did for them. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. For you to be able to attain salvation and live throughout eternity if you want it. But it's your decision to make. And once we do that, we pray for them. Give them something to think about.
Uh-huh.
Letting them know we love them and we're praying for them. Yes. Yes.
I mean, we're obligated to make sure they know the truth so they can make a conscious decision.
That's right.
We don't have to help them. We don't have to
buy.
We don't have to worry about everything about them. We just tell them there is a heaven, there is a hell.
Yes.
And the beauty is all explained. The Bible tells you everything.
Mm-hmm. And one thing about it, when God gets ready to deal with them, they'll know it.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. But can I say one more thing?
Oh, ma'am, it's your program.
Okay, I just want everybody to know, praise the Lord, just ourselves with the new talk, without any human help, the last 3 days I've been standing up. All over my Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He's been doing it. He promised he's going to do it, and he's doing it.
Glory be to God.
I've been able to stand up. It had been real good, but it's been good.
Amen.
I've been able to get on my legs for a few seconds and then sit up, but he promised me, he said, soon it'll be better. So I'm just wondering what it is. That's another thing we have to do. We got to wait. Oh, Lord. It's not our time, it's his time.
That's right.
To break us through things. Sometimes we don't seem like he's fast enough, but he knows when to do things. He knows how to do them, and he knows where to do them at. So he gives you every opportunity to do everything he wants you to do.
Yeah.
One thing about it, we love you, and we're still praying for you.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I love you guys. I'm praying for you guys, too. But the Lord is truly working in my life.
Praise God.
From the Bible standpoint, where he's taking me through, for all the messages, you see all the messages on Facebook. And everything, I talk to my daddy, tell him about the word and stuff. Because in my life growing up, my dad grew up Baptist. My mom grew up holiness.
Uh-huh.
I converted to the holiness because my daddy gave up church.
Mm-hmm.
But I am true, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I can
Praise
say that
Lord.
With enthusiasm, and with profound love and respect for my Lord.
Amen.
It is above and beyond. Whatever he's ever done for me is above and beyond anything anybody else can do. Nobody can do like the Lord. You can search all over, but you'll never find what the Lord is doing. Oh, wow, it's 9 o'clock. I'm so sorry, everybody.
You all right, ma'am?
Everybody be blessed. Shalom.
Shalom.